You've never seen Beverly Hills Cop, right?
No, I haven't. You're right.
Me neither.
Nice.
So this will be good.
Yeah, so we're here to talk about the soundtrack, and neither of us has seen the movie.
Are we just going to intro that?
Yeah, okay. That's amazing.
None of us has seen the movie. I've just assumed that, like, you know, Beverly Hills, this is what I assume the movie is about. Beverly Hills is full of white people, and Eddie Murphy is not a white person.
And
so,
that's just hilarious.
And he does some funny stuff. There's probably some sort of mobster. And hilarity ensues. That is what I assume Beverly Hills Cop is about.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't have a whole lot of desire to see the movie.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
I mean, whatever, like, buddy cop movies are whatever, and Eddie Murphy is sort of whatever to me, but this soundtrack is everything.
And
everything.
More.
Everything and more.
It's so good.
It is, as they would have said in the early 90s, all that and a bag of chips.
Oh, all that and a bag of Skittles. Yeah.
Was it Skittles at your school?
Well, I don't know. It was a bunch of things.
In my school,
it depends on what show you watched, generally. Because they all said it, because they were all very cool.
So, this is probably... this is definitely my top five movie soundtracks ever.
And oh, yeah.
Yours, too? Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it's just brilliant. So, we're going to run down. It's only, I think it's 10 tracks. Yes.
I got it. Yes, there's a lot more in the movie that isn't on the official soundtrack.
Yes, but we're going to run down the 10 tracks on the official soundtrack.
Duh.
Yeah. Kicking it off with Patti LaBelle's New Attitude, which is the theme from the movie, I guess.
Remember a couple weeks ago when we talked on the Falco thing about the number one when you were born? I've recently made it number one on the club charts, so it never sucks.
Oh.
That's my number one.
Oh, what a great
That
one.
Combined with Axel F was number one when I was born club charts.
There you go.
Much better than
that's right, because it was a double. It was released as a single.
Yeah, it was like, it was back in the time when, like, back then on the club charts, they could really just, depending on Club Clay, could just do a whole album. Like, the Thriller album was generally just always number one on club charts.
Gotcha.
But, great song.
Yes, this is Patti LaBelle and her, like, her high Yes Mama voice over this crashing Lindrum beat. And
oh my God. And this was, like, really her first hit since, like, the 70s. Because she had been, like, crawling around the R&B charts. That's important for this soundtrack,
too. Oh, her first top 40 hit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, a lot of these artists are people who had been on the R&B charts.
That's true.
But never really had... huge, some of them.
This was such a magical era for soundtracks because it used to be, you know, previously a sound like a movie soundtrack was more like a score.
Yes.
And it would just be this orchestral presentation. And then we hit this sweet spot in the 80s, and we're well beyond this now, where a record company would get hired to do a movie soundtrack.
Yeah.
And so they would amass these artists that they had. So they would get, like, a couple of hit makers, and then they would round up these artists who were, like, lesser known, or they were, like, genre artists.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get all these people in on one soundtrack. And oftentimes they would get the whole thing produced by one person, which was very cool. Like when we talked about Scarface, for example.
Yep.
Giorgio Moroder did the whole thing. This was not the case with this soundtrack. There were different producers working all through here. But MCA Records did a very good job at picking the talent for this and kind of keeping a consistent feel throughout the soundtrack, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's a very urban feel for a Beverly Hills-ish movie.
That's
and
true.
I have a funny, whenever I hear this song, when I was a kid, my dad used to listen to conservative radio, even though he was not a conservative, but he would, like, hate listen to it, which, by the way, he still does and will text me about it. He's like, did you hear it? I'm like, no, I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh. But anyway, he used to listen to Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Ugh.
And this was her theme. So this is, like, how I knew the song before.
Really?
This was her, I don't know if it still is. I think she still has a show.
Oh, that's so
but
gross.
But this used to be the theme song for, and so my dad used to always sing it but change the lyrics to be about nudity, so he would be like, I got a nude attitude. How I always sing it, because that's how I learned it as a small child.
Love it. Shalimar was already a very well-known artist by now. They,
mm-hmm.
of course, kind of came to prominence in the late 70s with their initial lineup, and then Howard Hewitt joined, and then they became more like of a synth-pop act in the early 80s, and they were on soundtracks here and there. But this was not like a big chart hit for them, But they are on this soundtrack with a song called Don't Get Stopped in Beverly Hills.
And it sounds very Shalimar.
Oh, yeah. It's straight up Shalimar.
Shalimar reeking of it.
Yes. If you like Dancing in the Sheets from the Footloose soundtrack, you will love Don't Get Stopped in Beverly Hills. So I was very excited to find that this song had a music video because I did not expect that. So I find this music video for Junior's Do You Really Want My Love? I have so many questions, as I often say on this show.
I just like listen to it.
It takes place on a racquetball court or an indoor gymnasium, like racquetball court or tennis ball court.
Okay.
And he appears to be singing to an attractive woman who is sitting further down a bench from him. Why they did not just put the woman next to him with, or just no people in between them would be okay. Or why not just put a whole group of people or he's looking at it from across the room? No, they put one fat white dude between him and this woman and they take all these tight shots of him singing to that side, but with her cropped out of them. So it just looks like he's singing to a large white man about really wanting his love.
Well, I mean, those are some very interesting editorial decisions. I don't know.
Rocky Robbins. Ooh, Rocky Robbins.
That is not the song.
No,
that would be great.
Yes,
though.
Rocky Robbins, the artist. This would be a good example of a genre artist because he was known in the R&B circles, and then they let him have this emergency song, which is very much like a boogie jam.
Oh my god, totally. It's a good little driving synth line. It's fun.
Yes, I often feel that there is an emergency close by when I am listening to it. Mostly because I am not dancing. Okay, so true story about the Neutron Dance. I think that Neutron Dance is one of the more well-known.
Neutrons don't dance.
Neutrons don't dance. Let's get into the science here. Thank you. No, when I was in high school, right after I started driving and I got my first crappy little car, it kind of became tradition for me and a few of my friends. We would sit in the back of my car and play board games and listen to whatever tapes or CDs I had in my car. And this soundtrack was one of them. And one day, my friend Campbell, who was playing with us, decided that she wanted to teach us this dance that she had learned somewhere in her childhood, probably at camp or something. But it was this kind of you stand in a circle around and you slap hands and do this very patty cake kind of thing. And she was like, we should try this with music. And I had this tape right there. So I turned on the Neutron Dance. So every time now the Neutron Dance just sort of became our song.
Start clapping.
For this patty cake thing that she taught us. I wish I still remembered how to do that. I bet if we could do an Offbeat Tracks field trip. We'll go track Campbell down and get her to
recreate
this dance.
She lives in Louisville again. I see her sometimes because she's friends with one of my friends. She'll pop up sometimes. All right, so next time I see her, I'll be like,
we have a field assignment.
Clappy thing.
Neutron dance.
Yeah.
But this really is the Pointer Sisters at their best, isn't it?
Oh my God.
This is the height of their era.
I don't know.
This and Jump for My Love were just
I love the Pointer Sisters.
I do too.
So it's hard for me to be at their best because I'm not sure there is a worst.
That's fair.
Yeah, I just love the Pointer Sisters, and it doesn't matter if they've got the more smooth R&B stuff or the upbeat cool stuff. It all works for me. It's just they can do no wrong.
The one sore thumb on this record.
Oh, don't you sore thumb this.
Well, and I say sore thumb just because it's musically so different than the others. I still like this song, but it is kind of a... This got thrown in for the goofy white people.
Yeah, and you know what? It worked for this goofy white person.
It sure did.
I do like a little goofy white person dance whenever it comes on.
Glenn Frey's The Heat Is On is, of course, what we're talking about. And, you know, it's the 80s, so it had a sax solo.
On the street. Oh, it's such a jam. Yeah, the sax. I don't love a sax solo, but like
there is a right way to do a sax solo. I smell a superlative show there.
Good sax solos.
Good sax solos, yeah. Say no more. Glenn Frey, whatever. It's fine.
I fucking
it works.
Love this song. Max is crazy. He's trying.
I'm not.
It's so good.
No, it's a good song. All right, so Danny Elfman is one of these weird things that just pops up here and there. Yeah, he is the goat. But he's the goat of weirdness.
He's the goat of quirky, often soundtracky guys.
Yep. Basically, every Tim Burton soundtrack score he has done, he's Oingo Boingo, and he got to put a little bit of his weirdness on this soundtrack in the form of the song Gratitude.
And it works.
Which I think was from his debut solo album. I think was a cut from his debut solo album because he did release a solo album around this time.
Mm-hmm.
Oingo Boingo was still a thing, but I think he... we've got some construction going on nearby or
Why
something.
Not?
I don't know what that slamming was about. Maybe that's Danny Elfman breaking
the
in to correct
us. The heat
is
on, fellas.
The heat is on. Yes, I should ask them if they have any gratitude.
What if they're here to fix? What if they were here to fix the like the heater and they were like, "Hey guys,
the heat is on." God damn it!
Sorry. Anyway, back to Danny Elfman. Sorry to make this all about Glenn Frey. May he rest. But
oh, that's right. Shit, he died last year.
He died last year. Anyway, Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman's still alive though, and he sure fucking probably is. Still making weird music.
He did a one of my. Clients in California went to. He recently did a performance of the what is that song? The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh yes,
he did a full performance of that soundtrack at the Hollywood Bowl, like back on Halloween.
Interesting.
Yeah, so my coworker went to that, and I was like, "You're a jerk." But yeah, he's still out doing stuff.
I like Gratitude because it's sort of like told from the perspective of a boss. Talking to a subordinate, which is not, you know, very often in music we hear the subordinate complaining about the boss. This is like Danny Elfman turning capitalism on its head kind of and going, you know, you are so ungrateful. Where's your gratitude? I gave you this job and this salary and blah, 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 you know.
The response
to people
to 9
like
to
you
5.
For breakfast. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like rock-esque. The rich production and like rich vocals, it just works.
One more Patti LaBelle song. She
can't get enough.
She got to stick two in here. Stir It Up. What a great guitar riff on this song.
Oh my God, yeah. It's so 80s Patti.
It's like, it's so synthesized guitar, but it's like, it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's just perfect.
And there's an awesome music video for this song too.
I bet.
I love that the system, like, was just cool enough to be on the soundtrack at this time. Because I feel like MCA threw them on to it as like some star power. Little did they know.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. The System is one of those groups that to me should have been bigger. I think that they could have done their own thing. We'll probably do an episode on them at some point.
I love The System.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm just so in love with Don't Disturb This Groove.
Yeah.
That if they're not doing Don't Disturb This Groove, I get annoyed because I'm like,
tone it down. It's kind of like last week when we talked with Skritti Politti. It's sort of like one of those, it's hard to best when you do something perfect.
Exactly.
And that to me is another song that I would say is a perfect song.
But anyway.
But Rock and Roll Me Again is also a great song.
Pretty darn good.
And definitely still true to who The System were as artists, I think.
It's a busy synth. It's a busy synth, but it's good.
Yeah.
Like it's more than I'm used to with
The System. It kind of has that wall of sound thing that they were very good at.
Mm-hmm.
And last, but certainly first in our hearts,
oh my God,
we get to talk about probably the greatest instrumental track ever written, Harold Faltermeyer's
Man, it's
Axel
up there.
F.
God, there were a lot of them in the 80s that were
this
very
is,
good.
This is an absolutely iconic song.
My old ringtone, which was so happy that my dog recognizes and freaks out whenever she hears
Everybody
Axel
knows
F.
this riff. And there's so much going on. For people who love synthesizers and keyboards and whatnot, this song is important because I think it's been kind of a thing for a long time now that people who play synthesizers don't exactly know what equipment he used to perform this song and have never been able to like exactly reproduce his sound the way he did it.
Really?
Yeah. He's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant synthesizer operator mm-hmm. and keyboard player. He's just Harold Faltermeyer. He's brilliant. This music video, like, can we talk about that for a minute?
It's
good Lord.
Good Lord, indeed.
You know, it starts with like Harold is like, you know, this spy, which was a thing in the 80s, I guess, you know, like, ooh, yeah. I'm performing espionage. So I'm going to type on a keyboard, even though it's like I'm playing synthesizer notes. So already we're fucked. This doesn't make any sense. Cuts to a random woman breakdancing under a streetlight to this song, even though this isn't really a breakdancing song.
As we are all wont to do.
Indeed. And he then toward the end of the video, they green screen Harold into some scenes from the movie, including this very hilarious shot that comes up for about 3 seconds where Axel Foley's running across the street and you get tiny Harold Faltermeyer running in place behind him. It kills me every time.
I die every time.
And there's also, yeah, I found a live performance of this that he did on, I think, German TV in 2008.
It's the very thing to show.
Let me tell you something. The Europeans have no shame when it comes to performing with tracks on TV.
Nope.
They will straight up lip sync, fake every instrument known to mankind on TV. And this performance is no exception. None of the instruments are plugged in. There's a fucking guitar player on the stage with him, even though there is no guitar anywhere in this song. And
I'm doing my blessed hands.
They bring the two women out to do the breakdancing part. It's so European music
TV. Oh, man.
TV.
Yeah, I mean, Axel F is like, it's legendary. Who cares if the things are plugged in? Yeah, Harold Faltermeyer actually did. He did the whole entire score for the movie, which is not really on the soundtrack, but they actually did release like the full score like last year. But
I did not know that.
Yeah, there was like a whole big like combined thing where they released the full Harold Faltermeyer score, everything that was in the movie, including the soundtrack stuff, but then other stuff that wasn't on the official soundtrack, and the Beverly Hills Cop 2 soundtrack.
So even though we kind of referred to New Attitude as the theme song from the movie, this was like the theme
this was
music.
The theme.
This was the theme music, the theme of the movie, yeah.
Yes, because apparently Axel F stands for Axel Foley, which is Eddie Murphy.
Which is that's the character of the movie, right? Yeah.
That we've definitely seen.
That's right, that we've definitely seen, even though we said at the top of the show that we hadn't.
Nope.
I want to share this because I will never get another chance to bring this up on this show since we were talking about goofy European TV performances.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to see the all-time greatest example of European TV performance ridiculousness, go look up Nirvana doing Smells Like Teen Spirit on top of the Pops. Because they got told, you know, hey, you're going to do a track. And imagine saying that to Nirvana. hey, you're going to perform to a track. And Nirvana was like, okay, well, we're going to make assholes out of you guys. So if you look when the song starts, literally, you know, like there's this, you know, all the drums at the beginning. Look in the back. Dave Grohl literally has his drumsticks in the air and is doing it up and down like this. And Kurt Cobain is just like doing this very solemn strum. Like they made total assholes out of the Top of the Pops guys.
That is,
it is really like, hilarious.
I don't love Nirvana. But I love that.
I love them for that. Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
There you have it. One of our favorite soundtracks of all time. Good old Beverly Hills Cop.
I think everyone might have just heard my stomach growl.
Well, we better wrap this up and go eat then. I had this on cassette, as I mentioned, in high school. And I would I would put this on in the morning when I was getting ready for school. And keep in mind, like this soundtrack was 20 years old by then, nearly.
You can sing Nude Attitude while you shower.
Well, damn it. I wish I'd known at the time.
Got a nude attitude.
But yeah, that's kind of the story of my life. Oh, here's this shit that was cool 20 years ago, and I'm still rocking it now.
Me
that's,
too.
That's what I do. Well, that's why we're here doing this.
Yep.
And if you like what we're doing, hey, drop us a line and tell us that you love us, or tell us that we should be doing something different. We'll probably tell you to fuck off, but...
Tell us that you hate us. Like, we'll even care.
Yeah, we don't. We totally don't care.
Whatever. We're actually laughing.
Our website is offbeattrackscast.com.
We are on Twitter at offbeattracks.
Yeah, so email us, tweet us, tell us what you want to hear and what you'd like for us to talk about.
Sure.
Or if you want to be on the show, we would probably entertain that idea.
We might, if you're hot enough.
Yeah. Rigorous screening process.
Sexy people only.
That's right. We'll see you next week.